This is Jordan Secchio. Breaking news on Jay Secchio Live. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are banned from visiting the state of Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Secchio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
So, you know, it's been reported over the last couple weeks, actually, this idea during the House recess, as many members of Congress, they return to their districts and they make trips overseas, and there's these congressional delegations that go and they take their staffs with them to make visits around the world. And one of those visits that could have been the most controversial and one done to cause trouble and really to cause tensions in a region which is already tense enough, in an area which is already dealing with enough strife and division as well, Israel. You had these two members of Congress, part of the squad, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Minnesota and Michigan respectively. There was talk that they were going to put forward the request to officially visit the state of Israel. And this again, it puts a lot of things into question. And at first, you may say, well, they're members of Congress. But Israel actually has laws on its books very clearly that says if you support the boycott and divestment and sanctions movement, the BDS movement against Israel, you can be barred from entering the country. And it's issued on like a case-by-case basis. So what happened here is Rashida Tlaib and now Ilhan Omar have been officially barred. But this is the interesting point, and I think you can all be kind of proud of your president today for what he did. President Trump actually put forward the statement from the U.S. government encouraging Israel to stop Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar from being allowed to visit. He tweeted out just an hour ago, "It would show great weakness if Israel allowed Rep. Omar and Rep. Tlaib to visit. They hate Israel and all Jewish people, and there is nothing that can be said or done to change their minds. Minnesota and Michigan will have a hard time putting them back in office. They're a disgrace." So President Trump tweets that, and then it's confirmed just minutes later from the Israeli deputy prime minister that they have officially been barred from entry and they will not be allowed to visit the West Bank and not be able to visit the state of Israel. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Now, what are we doing now? I want to go right to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Than, what I'm waiting for is Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, Jerry Nadler. What are they all going to say? These are all members of Congress, congressional Democrat leaders. They have said they support Israel, but they also get caught in these statements trying to support these members, even though these members will turn on them in a heartbeat.
Jordan, we have warned many times before that they were going to find themselves in a problematic situation for trying to have it both ways. Remember, Speaker Pelosi and the rest of her leadership supported a resolution in the House of Representatives condemning the BDS movement. But Jordan, they were not willing to take the actions necessary to actually put teeth behind their words. Chief among them, they should have just simply removed Congressman Omar from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. They did not do that. And now they find themselves again in a situation where they are going to have to decide if there is any weight behind the words that they have issued. Jordan, I think my prediction is that they will likely condemn this move and say that Israel should have admitted it. Again, though, Jordan, that's just saying that they are, in fact, endorsing the position of Congressman Omar if they do it. They've given her a seat on the committee, and they want Israel to be forced to allow her entry if they take that position. Jordan, there's really no way they can have it because they have not taken the action that they should have taken long ago.
I mean, if they weren't members of Congress, there wouldn't even be a question. They would definitely be barred, not because of their religion, not because of their personal backgrounds, because of the position they've taken, which specifically violates the law of the state of Israel, just like we bar people. It's much harder, by the way, to visit the United States than any country in the world to get access to our country. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
As you know, we're strong supporters of the State of Israel at the ACLJ, and on this broadcast, we have an office in Jerusalem. And with all that being said, we worked with a number of Palestinian clients before, and Palestinian Christians were being persecuted in the Gaza Strip by groups like Hamas, who are in effective control of that territory, or even under the Palestinian Authority's control in the West Bank, which has very little control over its own people. And that's, in fact, what Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, that's what they wanted to do. So they were going to arrive on Sunday in the State of Israel to tour the West Bank by a pro-Palestinian organization, and they weren't going to have any meetings with any government officials. So in a sense that they were traveling on official business, not really. I mean, they didn't have any government official meeting, no leader-to-leader meetings. And they were expected to visit basically all hotspots: Hebron, Ramallah, Bethlehem, the annexed part of East Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock, which again, just visiting the top of the Dome of the Rock is a high security situation. Been there a number of times, even before when you could enter the Dome of the Rock if you weren't a Muslim, or the Al-Aqsa Mosque. But that situation, again, it's always very tense. The security around that, who is in control of that specifically. And I think that this decision was made in part because of security in the State of Israel, but also at the urging. Be proud of your U.S. government. You could be proud of your president. He stood up for Israel. He actually let it be known. Listen, the U.S. is not going to have any issue, and the U.S. government has no issue if you want to bar these two members of Congress. They may speak for their districts, they don't speak for the United States of America. And if they violate your laws, which Israel has a law that says if you support the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, the State of Israel can, not always, but can, bar you from entering the State of Israel. Both Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are strong supporters, Harry, of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. They put it out there, they've let it be known, there's no secret, or there's no, it's not an allegation, it's something they've embraced.
Absolutely. And so BDS constitutes a movement that denies Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. It seeks to impose financial and other penalties on Jewish institutions that operate out of Israel, but also it seeks to impose penalties on American and European firms that operate within the boundaries of Israel. It's also important to note that Representative Omar and Tlaib are inescapably linked to BDS, and they are also inescapably linked with anti-Semitic tropes, statements, and tweets, including their support for a resolution in the House of Representatives, which sought to liken the boycott of Israel to boycotts of Nazi Germany. So these two individuals have engaged in a raft of offensive behavior, and the Israeli government has taken action, and rightly so. And it would be nice to see Nancy Pelosi follow the Israeli government's example and actually punish or censure these two representatives for continuing to engage in anti-Semitic statements and tropes.
We have not yet heard from the members of Congress, so we haven't heard yet from Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib's staff or from them directly. We're monitoring that. We haven't heard from Nancy Pelosi or from Chuck Schumer. And I think we're going to then, it's a fair question, Than, for all those Democrat presidential candidates. I don't know, there's 23 or 24 right now, but it's a fair question to ask them because they're all going to be in that situation of trying to embrace the far left and not trying to isolate the middle-of-the-road voters in America.
Yeah, it's a fair question, Jordan. I think it's beyond that. I think it's a very important question to ask them because it strikes at the question of sovereignty of the state of Israel. Look, every sovereign country should have the right to exclude people who want to undermine that country, or in this case, even eliminate that country from entering its borders. The United States certainly has that right. And if you want to run to be president of the United States, asking a question about whether a sovereign nation, including our closest ally in the region, has that right, you should be prepared to answer it. And Jordan, I really think it comes back to the statement you made about the president making a statement that these two members of Congress do not speak for the United States of America. That has been my primary concern from the beginning, because continuing to allow Congressman Omar this seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee did sort of suggest that she did speak for at least the Democrat Party when it comes to foreign affairs, and Speaker Pelosi has been unwilling to take that action. That's what I think made it incumbent on the President of the United States to speak directly to Israel and say, look, do what you have to do, protect your sovereignty, you can exclude them, we will not take it as an affront. Jordan, of course the President doesn't want to be in a situation where a member of Congress or multiple members of Congress are excluded from an ally's country, but he didn't create this situation. These two congressmen, their words and their actions, they created it, and this is an appropriate response from the state of Israel.
All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to John calling in from New York online. For John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, I'm first of all honored to have this call received. You guys are doing a great work. My appeal to Chuck Schumer, and I hope that he's listening, as a New York senator, someone who could steer this party to the center, should recall a time when he took out a full-page ad in the New York Times denouncing the Obama administration's foreign policy move to give an anti-Semitic state, the state of Iran, an endorsement to continue its exportation of terrorism and its clear and unequivocal position with regard to the state of Israel. How in the world can we sit here and watch members of the United States Congress, and how can Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, regardless of how they feel about Donald Trump, regardless of what the politics are involved, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. I want to see Chuck Schumer realize that he is an American Jewish citizen first, who has always supported the nation of Israel, who has always advocated for those who are in need of support. Yeah. With regard to Israel.
You're giving an ad for Chuck Schumer, and that was fine because he was a strong supporter of the state of Israel, and he was against the Iran nuclear deal. But listen to what I said was there. He was against the Iranian nuclear deal when his vote didn't matter because they didn't actually vote in the Senate. So he took out the ads, and it was the Obama administration. It was towards the end of the administration. But once Donald Trump pulled out of the deal, he suddenly reverse course. Even PolitiFact found It was absolutely true to say Chuck Schumer was initially opposed, as you said, John, to the Iranian nuclear deal, but then changed his position once President Trump was elected and pulled out of the deal, following exactly the advice that Chuck Schumer laid out in that New York Times ad that you're referring to. So specifically, but you know, take a listen to this, because I think this one will be even tougher for Chuck Schumer, because he's condemning the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement at that group, AIPAC, you know, the one that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, they love to beat up on. Here he is this year at AIPAC by 10.
When there is such a double standard, when the world treats everybody one way and the Jew or the Jewish state another way, there's only one word for it. Anti-Semitism. Let us call out the BDS movement for what it is.
And here is Congresswoman Omar talking about AIPAC. Let's see today if Chuck Schumer is so tough on these congresswomen. Bite number 21.
I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country. I want to ask, why is it okay for me to talk about the influence of the NRA, of fossil fuel industries, or big pharma, and not talk about a powerful lobbying group that is influencing policy?
So there you go. The contrast, that's two members of their own party, Democrat Party. So you would think Chuck Schumer would come out and be blatantly and just kind of, you know, say that what they do is wrong. They're troublemakers. He hasn't done that. And in fact, again, the pressure will be on again, these leaders. When it comes to this movement specifically, too, when we come back from the break, Harry, we're taking action in North Carolina today on an issue involving the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, because in the U.S., where it's really kind of moving and where you see it the most active is at the university level.
Absolutely. And so in North Carolina, they have taken public funds to support the promotion of bias and racism against essentially the against the state of Israel, and basically denying the right of the state of Israel to exist. So this is outrageous, to use public funds to undermine Israel's right to exist, and we'll talk about it.
Another example, not just talking about these issues, doing something about it. It's a difference with our broadcast, I think every other, is that we're talking about issues that we are fighting with, fighting for and fighting on every single day in the courts, in Congress. Go to ACLJ.org, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, double the impact of your donation. August is a matching challenge month. We need your financial support. Donate to the ACLJ. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
If Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren were racing each other to see who could get out their tweets first in support of these radical terrorist enabling, I'll say at least that, terrorist enabling, sympathetic to radical Islamic movements, congresswomen elected both in Minnesota and Michigan, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, they have embraced movements tied to terrorist groups and Islamic extremist groups like the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. They proudly support it. It's not an allegation that behind the scenes they're secretly working. They go on and do interviews about it. They go on major networks and do about it. But Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who I guarantee you, if just ask a question about the state of Israel, will still say that they support Israel, but, you know, it's always that. They put out these statements. So first it was Bernie Sanders. Banning Congresswoman Omar and Tlaib from entering Israel and Palestine, and CIA puts that, which technically, again there, you're talking about a state of Israel versus a territory situation, but he doesn't make that distinction there, is a sign of enormous disrespect to these elected leaders, to the United States Congress, and to the principles of democracy. The Israeli government should reverse this decision and allow them in. This is a phony argument, but if you're a supporter of open borders and allow everyone to come into the country and your country illegally, then why wouldn't you support this position that everyone should be allowed into any place whatsoever? So it's not, I think that they're trying to make it this political statement. The truth is, it's much harder to visit the United States of America. It's much more difficult. Much more difficult under the Obama administration, not anything new under the Trump administration, to visit the United States of America, to get green cards, to get visas to stay. And we have some of the most strict policies, if not the most strict policies in the world, to legally come here, to legally come here. But then, of course, you get this from the open borders crowd that, oh, Israel should just let everyone in. Elizabeth Warren, she got her statement out too via Twitter. Israel doesn't advance its case as a tolerant democracy or unwavering U.S. ally by barring elected members of Congress. I want to put that forward right there. Because you are a tolerant democracy, but an independent state, which Israel is, you don't have to allow people who are calling to boycott your state, divest from your state, economically isolate your state, or identify it as an apartheid state, or compare it to Nazis, which, remember, Congresswoman Omar's resolution did. You don't have to allow those people in. That's not against democracy. That's not against our support, our U.S. support for democracy. That's sticking up for your independence as a nation. And I think, Harry, that again alone, this idea that you've got to let people in who are supporting movements, not just in opposition, very uniquely to a political position, but literally to your entire existence.
You're absolutely correct. And Senator Elizabeth Warren is well noted for her incoherent statements. Israeli law bans the entry of individuals that support BDS. What is the Israeli government now doing? The Israeli government is simply enforcing its own law enacted by an Israeli democracy. That's number one. Number two, Israel is the most tolerant country in the Middle East. Perhaps Elizabeth Warren has conveniently forgot about that. And thirdly, Elizabeth Warren is dangerously linking herself with individuals who support effectively the elimination of the state of Israel. So that doesn't suggest that Elizabeth Warren is being very tolerant with respect to the existence going forward of the state of Israel.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Jim in California on line 6. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. What is the BDS? And second question, what's the purpose of these two individuals trying to visit Israel in the first place? What are they up to?
Okay, so they were going to visit via a Palestinian organization, not visiting the Jewish state of Israel, but really to, again, spread division. They were going to only visit really in the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and then the Dome of the Rock or Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that was going to be, again, the kind of the focus. They had no meetings with anyone in the governments, either of the state of Israel or the Palestinian Authority. So everything was provided by some outside Palestinian group, which, by the way, always gets you into trouble. Most of those outside Palestinian groups, I'm not saying all, but most have ties at least to people who have funded terrorism. So you have to be really careful. And again, I'm not saying all, but most of those groups do have ties to people who the U.S. bars from entry. And the U.S. would not allow to enter the country because of their ties to Islamic terrorism. And so I think that alone was questionable. Also, we know that these members of Congress don't just travel alone. They travel with delegations. And what Israel has said for these last couple of weeks, as this has been in the news, is that it really wasn't as much about the specific members of Congress, but also who they put forward that needed to travel with them. And Than, I think that's key as well, because there's some pretty radical folks associated with these two members of Congress and their staff that aren't household names yet.
Yeah, leading members of their staff, Jordan, also support staff, logistical staff. I do think that factored into this decision. Yeah. And look, you can question their purpose for the visit, but even if the purpose wasn't nefarious, and Jordan, I suspect it probably was, but even if their purpose was genuine, I can guarantee you that the effect of the visit would have been essentially to stir the pot. If you're not going to meet with government officials, if you're not going to try to bring real solutions to the table, you're simply trying to drum up support for your own hot rhetoric. And look, Jordan, you didn't have to guess where these members of Congress were coming from. When this anti-BDS resolution was on the floor of the House, only 17 members of Congress voted against it. Do you know how hard it is to get basically 400 members of Congress to agree on anything these days? But the vote on that was 398-17. And these two members of Congress were two of the 17. And Jordan, they both spoke on the House floor condemning it. And Congressman Omar put forward her own resolution to counter the resolution. So there was not a guessing game here. Their purpose has been very clear for some time now.
Ilhan Omar tweeted out this statement. And you wonder why is she going to be allowed to visit this country? Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Sounds like something you'd see from a terrorist group. It said it's a member of Congress. That doesn't, but by getting elected by a single congressional district in the United States, doesn't allow, you're not speaking on behalf of the United States government, and it doesn't allow you to do whatever you want and go wherever you want. And I think it should be clear. And the president has made clear that the U.S. is not going to take it as some slap in the face if you don't allow these two members of Congress in. In fact, don't. So if you have the leader of a country, of your number one ally, ally telling you, by the way, these are bad actors, I wouldn't allow them in, maybe letting you know something, again, that you wouldn't even be, specifically know. And again, he's standing up and he's saying, this is my position. So I think he made it pretty easy for the state of Israel in this matter. But we're getting involved on this issue, and so we come back from the break. People keep, you know, people hear this BDS, it gets thrown around, this boycott, divestment, and sanctions. It is an attempt to take all investments away from Israel, to take all the U.S. support from Israel, and economically boycott Israel. And we're seeing it at the university level. We're taking action on it today in North Carolina, actually, because of federal grants going to groups that support this movement.
Note that the U.S. government has directly or indirectly supported the BDS movement, and that is why the ACLJ is taking action.
Go to ACLJ.org. Stand with us. We need your financial support. Matching challenge month of August. That's ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live in our second half hour, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar have been banned from visiting the state of Israel during the House recess. They were planning to make a trip and arrive this Sunday. They were going to tour the West Bank under the auspices of a Palestinian organization led by a Palestinian lawmaker with ties to the terrorist organization, by the way, and to highlight Palestinian grievances over the Israeli occupation. The women were planning to visit the West Bank cities of Hebron, Ramallah, and Bethlehem, as well as East Jerusalem and the Dome of the Rock, which is, again, a very heated place to go. And we know that they are not careful with their rhetoric. We know that they are not they had no meetings with government officials even planned. I mean, so it was all to stir up trouble, all to stir up controversy. And you see the left running to defend. So where will the Joe Biden types go when Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders were out within 60 seconds denouncing this move by the state of Israel, which, by the way, was at the request of our president? So it wasn't like Israel standing alone here to bar these two members of Congress. President Trump, Israel was probably going to allow this to go forward. You know, it's a smaller country than the United States, 7 million people versus over 300 million people. It's a big partner of the United States. And again, these two members of Congress. Now, they also have to submit who's going to be traveling with them. And I think that's a big, you know, if when you're talking about these two members. Because of the groups that they've been associated with to get them elected, like the Council on American Islamic Relations tied to the Muslim Brotherhood, a lot of reasons why you wouldn't allow these folks in. And by the way, people that also probably wouldn't be allowed into the United States, that Israel would bar into these kind of similar laws because of what they're tied to. But the president tweeted out, "It would show great weakness if Israel allowed Rep. Omar and Rep. Tlaib to visit. They hate Israel and all Jewish people, and there's nothing that can be said or done to change their minds. Minnesota and Michigan will have a hard time putting them back in office. They are a disgrace." And immediately, Harry, you have Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren running to the defense of Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. They don't have to even say anything.
Well, both politicians are shameless. And I think for them, integrity is a foreign concept. And so here you have the nation state of Israel, which was indeed created consistent and pursuant to a 1947 grant by the United Nations. So the Israel has existed peacefully for almost 70 years. Of course, peace has been interrupted by aggression. And it's clear beyond question that Representative Omar and Tlaib effectively support aggression coming both from the BDS movement, which is inescapably linked, at least historically, to Hamas. The BDS movement has not distanced itself from Hamas, a designated foreign terrorist organization. BDS supporters individually are not distancing themselves. I don't believe Representative Omar or Representative Tlaib have distanced themselves. And so you now have essentially Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders coming to the aid and assistance of these two representatives who seek to enter Israel illegally. Israel has a law banning supporters of BDS. They have exercised their right to ban these two individuals. That is a highly justified decision by the Israeli government.
And here's the thing. These two members of Congress could have been part of a group of about 40 or some odd members of Congress, Republican and Democrat, who were visiting the state of Israel, I think this week and last week, very bipartisan, meeting with officials, government officials on both from the state of Israel and the Palestinian Authority. They could have been part of that group. But no, they had to make this stand individually, not even meet with leaders. You know, no rules apply if you're Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. But the President of the United States stood up for the state of Israel. We'll be right back. 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Israel's former deputy foreign minister and former ambassador to the United States, Danny Aylon, tweeted this statement out. I think if I read this, it makes a lot of sense and kind of the point we're trying to make in a very succinct way. When the two racist anti-Semitic members of Congress refused to visit Israel with Steny Hoyer, so that's Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And Steny Hoyer is a Democrat whose delegation heard from wide-ranging Israeli and Palestinian leaders on all sides of the spectrum, it became clear that their intention isn't just to visit, but to cause provocations. Israel, like every sovereign country, has the right to decide who can enter and who cannot enter, who must stay and who must leave. The United States administration recommended accordingly, and the Israeli government rightfully decided to accept that recommendation. 1-800-684-3110. On this issue too, which it all centers around not just a vague anti-Israel, pro-Israel stance by these members of Congress. They are specifically both supporters, avowed supporters of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, the BDS movement. They get pressed on this. They don't run away from it. They don't try and hide their it's not an allegation that they may be tied to. Here is Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib talking to Jake Tapper on CNN. He presses her about the BDS movement. She doesn't denounce it. She doesn't say, I'm not really part of that, or I don't always support. She's fully embracing it. Take a listen.
There have been criticisms of you from even your fellow Democrats, especially for your support for the BDS movement, which stands for Boycott, Divest, Sanction. It's an anti-Israel movement.
It's criticizing the racist policies of Israel, and it's a boycott, right? I mean, I think folks don't know when you say BDS, especially in around the country, when you say BDS, they're not sure what it means.
She always gets caught up in these kind of bizarre, funny statements. So she says it's a boycott after he says it's a boycott. But I think what she didn't want to try to come out there, she doesn't want to say it's really anti-Israel, it's anti-racist policies of Israel. But it's a boycott, not saying don't support this political party in Israel or this specific politician in Israel. It's saying divest completely, support nothing. Don't allow any ties, no economic, no investment, no private investment as well. And we're seeing it, Harry. I want to explain today the case where Freedom of Information Act request at the state level, state records request in North Carolina involving grants from the Department of Education at the federal level to universities of North Carolina and Duke University hosting events sponsored by and working with pro-BDS groups.
Absolutely. So I think, as we have explained, perhaps at least at the margin, it is bad enough to think that a state university would allow an anti-Israel and an anti-Semitic conference in the first place. Second, it's arguably unconscionable that they would then use tax dollars to do so. Basically, they're using tax dollars to promote the spirit of anti-Semitism at the expense of Jewish students on campus. And so, consistent with our opposition to these moves, the ACLJ has just submitted a public records request for all information regarding the anti-Israel conflict over Gaza people, politics, and possibilities conference, which was held on the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill campus this year and received almost $235,000 from the Department of Education. The speakers apparently engaged in a number of performances, but they were linked by one thing and one thing only, their commitment to brazen anti-Semitism. And it's important to note that the BDS movement, the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, is inherently anti-Semitic, and it seeks to dismiss the right of Israel to exist as a Jewish state. It seeks to delegitimize the state of Israel. It certainly supports all of the efforts at the United Nations and among cognitive elites around the world, and particularly in Europe, to deny Israel access to Europe. It seeks to deny Israeli products a market in Europe and in the United States. And so we have filed a records request, which is essentially similar to a freedom of information request. It's called something different in the state of Israel. We need to learn more about the sponsorship, who made the decision to allow this conference to go forward. And this is perhaps just the first step in a lengthy process. And the second step will involve filing a freedom of information request with the Department of Education.
And the Department of Education, then, at the federal level, under the Trump administration, Secretary DeVos, they are denouncing this. Of course, these are moves made by bureaucrats and made, again, getting a handle on these massive bureaucracies, as we've said, takes years. They've denounced these efforts, so we're not getting pushback from the federal side, and we're actually starting with the state side to see what they were putting forward to get these grants, maybe not even being completely open and transparent about what they were putting forward, these requests to get this money to pay for these events.
Yeah, in fact, in a very refreshing change, Jordan, the federal government is actually leading the way on this. I mean, you think back to the challenge that we had with the State Department involving those grants that were used to help unseat Bibi Netanyahu. The State Department stonewalled us for years on that, Jordan. The Department of Education, in this case, when they found out about the use of this $235,000 grant, they actually announced their own investigation and are looking into how those federal dollars were potentially misused. But Jordan, a couple of very important things that make this public records request unique. First of all, it allows us to get at the college campuses, which are really the epicenter of this BDS movement. Second of all, it allows us to find out which state actors, which campus actors, which university actors maybe were aware and potentially misled the Department of Education to get these grant dollars. So we're used to talking about this on a federal level, and those can be very challenging. In this case, Jordan, the federal government is in the right place on this. That allows us to go directly to the states, the heart of the problem on these college campuses, and try to root it out. I think in this case, there may be need to be an accounting for that $235,000 that came from the federal government.
All right. And folks, we'll be posting that at ACLJ.org later today. You can see the exact work that we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice. But on these issues, I just want to make it clear, too. I mean, even this one with Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, we're at the front edge of this kind of battle. Way before anyone ever talked about BDS, and before Jake Tapper was asking about it, and before you had even two elected members of Congress embracing it. Now, that's out of 435, so let's keep it that way. But at the same time, we've been fighting back against this for years. So before, and I think it's still kind of a new phrase, and the supporters of the movement would like you to not know what it means. They don't want to say boycott, divest, or sanction, and even if they say that, they don't want to say against who. There's only one target of the BDS movement. It's only the state of Israel. It's not some multifaceted left-wing group, Harry, that says we want to boycott a bunch of different countries. It's specifically Islamic, radically backed people who have been tied to funding terrorism and funding radical groups, and it's specifically targeted at Israel only.
Yes, we should conclude that this is simply the manifestation of dysfunctional hatred that is disproportionately aimed at one country in the world. It's as if Israel is the only imperfect country in the world. We know that the state of Israel is imperfect. All states are imperfect. But if you look at the Middle East, if you're really concerned about despotism, if you're really concerned about terror, if you're really concerned about hardship, if you're really concerned about the Palestinian people, the Israeli government is not the enemy of the Palestinian people. Instead, it's the leaders of those Palestinian and Arab governments which have succumbed to despotism. That's the real problem in the Middle East.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We come back from this break. That's we're going to focus on your calls into the broadcast, your comments as well on Facebook and Periscope, 1-800-684-3110. And what was at the heart of all this? I got to say, I love it when the president utilizes his voice to again send this clear message to our allies, because what he did earlier today, right before we were on the air, was make it clear to the state of Israel that the U.S. government and our commander-in-chief had no issue with barring these two members of Congress who specifically chose not to join a congressional delegation that was already visiting Israel, but to go by a sponsored Palestinian group, which, by the way, if you look at their website, is highly questionable, And so not going under the auspices of the U.S. government, but of a private organization, Palestinian organization, and that we were okay with saying no to that. So he made it clear, regardless of what Elizabeth Warren wants to say, Bernie Sanders wants to say, your commander-in-chief was clear. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. It is a critical time for us financially at the American Center for Law and Justice. That's how we can file this work in North Carolina. It's how we represent the real estate agent in Virginia, as we discussed yesterday, and do all of these various issues because of your financial support. Go to aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge today. That's aclj.org. Make your donation. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
one 800 684 3110. Final segment of the broadcast. We go right to your phones. Rachel's been holding on in New York. Rachel, we appreciate it. Make sure we get a Rachel book as well. You're on the air.
Not a problem. I appreciate your time. I want to make a comment. I really think that it was a really brave and excellent move on the part of Mr. Netanyahu and Mr. Trump, and hopefully this will send a message to the constituents of the respective states in the next election.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do appreciate Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu for taking such a stand.
Yeah, listen, the president speaks very clearly on this issue. He sent out another tweet. I will read it again. This is the president has, so he spoke out earlier. He made it clear to Israel that they could go ahead and take this action. The U.S. wasn't going to take it as any issue. He actually encouraged them to do this. And he just tweeted out, Representatives Omar and Tlaib are the face of the Democrat Party, and they hate Israel. Now, the woman tied with Joe Biden in the Democrat nomination is Elizabeth Warren, the senator. She, Than, is now tied in a lot of polls for first place. So she's actually rocketed ahead of Bernie Sanders in some polls nationally. And she was kind of, they were, Bernie Sanders and her were fighting out to get out who could support Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib first. So President Trump, I don't think inaccurate by saying this is the face of the Democrat Party, because look, if you put together the support base for Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders is larger than any candidates running when you combine their numbers together, and much larger than Joe Biden's, who knows what he will come out and say about this, and may say it three different ways, so you're not really sure what he's saying. But President Trump, you can be sure what he's saying.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely accurate, Jordan, not just because of what Senator Sanders and Senator Warren are saying, but also because of the fact that Democrats in Washington have refused to do anything about either of these congresswomen's actions and words. Jordan, look, in this situation, silence is acquiescence. They are refusing to oppose these congressmen. They have become the face of the Democrat Party. And look, I think in many ways, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib have more power in the House of Representatives than Speaker Pelosi. Look, juxtapose that with the actions that have come out of the Trump administration, certainly led by President Trump's statements on this issue, encouraging Israel to do what it needed to do and block these two congressmen. But look also at the State Department, including an additional reference inside their list that defines examples of anti-Semitism to include what Congressman Omar included in her resolution, which was a comparison of Israel's policies to Nazis. Think of what Secretary DeVos did in the situation we were just discussing about the grant that went to North Carolina. When she uncovered how that grant had been used, Jordan, she took immediate action. So Democrats in Washington, D.C., maybe personified most by Senators Sanders and Warren, they have to understand that it takes more than words to combat anti-Semitism that we see here. It takes actions. President Trump has been a clear example of that, but we have not seen that echoed by the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C.
All right, here we go. Back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you call right now, you may be able to make it on the air. Let's get to Mike in Pennsylvania online. For Mike, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Great, not a problem. I'm just curious if the Republican voter caught the Republican elected officials coming up and supporting the BDS, they would either get him out of office or at least protest about it. But there has been absolutely nothing from the Democrat voting base, and I'm curious about their mindset.
They're endorsing this. The Democrat voting base, Mike, is this. They are Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. President Trump's right. That's the base. You look to the, you know, the kind of the edgiest elements. I won't even say extreme, just the edgiest elements. Those are the people getting out to vote. Those are the people with the most passion, the most specific stances. They're not in the middle. They're not kind of people you persuade each election cycle. This is the base, and the base has gotten more and more liberal, which has now become more and more anti-Israel. It's why people like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are finding themselves in the position they are now, with very liberal voting records, but out of step with where the base of their party is now, on issues that used to be extremely bipartisan, that even the left and the right could agree on, that we support the only functioning democracy in the Middle East, the state of Israel, and that we have this strategic alliance with Israel. So that's why you're not seeing it, is that this is the face. So easily, then, you could have, the Democrat Party, I'm not going to say this, they can't push these people out of office directly, but what they can do is disempower them. So you don't have to let Ilhan Omar be on the Foreign Affairs Committee. I don't want to get into the Steve King matter too deeply, but when he started making these statements, Republicans immediately took him off every single committee. They couldn't take him away from his congressional seat, but they could take him away from his committee powers. They had no issue doing that. There wasn't any controversy surrounding that. Republicans acted swiftly. We're seeing the opposite here when it comes to Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah, committee seats are not a right, Jordan. You can earn your seat in the United States Congress by winning votes, but you cannot earn your seat on a committee. That is up to the leadership of both parties. You're right. In the case of Steve King, he was stripped of all his committee assignments. Neither of these two congressmen have had a single committee taken away, including the House Foreign Affairs Committee assignment that Congressman Omar has. Jordan, however, there is an obligation for voters to know where their elected officials stand. That's one of the reasons that when this anti-BDS resolution was on the floor of House of Representatives, we listed out on our website, aclj.org, all 17 members who voted against that resolution. It did include one Republican, Thomas Massie. He had some interesting reasons for opposing that. But most of the others, Jordan, had reasons that were similar to Congressman Omar and Congresswoman Tlaib. So I would suggest that voters need to go to aclj.org, look at that list, and then demand answers from every one of those 17. They may have different reasons, but before you go to the polls and cast a vote for your member, you need to know where they stand on issues like that. This, and in the case of these 17, they should be held specifically to account for this specific vote.
This is from the group that Ilhan Omar, this is from their statement today about Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Like all prolific human rights abusers, Israel wants to impose a blackout on the reality in occupied Palestine, prevent Congresswoman Tlaib, Omar, from having direct contact with the Palestinian people, who are subject to, here you go, Israel's cruel regime of colonization, oppression, and land grab. Again, these groups, if you look at their websites and you look at their statements, this is why you're getting barred from traveling and you're not able to go to these, and you're not going to be allowed into these countries. And everyone's going to posture, with their specific positions. But let's just be clear. These two individuals, you could say they're sloppy with their language. I think but they're also very specific in their hatred of Israel. And they don't specify it to just a political party in Israel, but it's to the entire state of Israel because of embracing the boycott and divestment sanctions movement, which we're fighting back at the ACLJ. They're two members of Congress. They don't speak for the United States of America. And our president made that clear today when he sent the message loud and clear to the state of Israel that you can take action on this, that you don't have to allow this group. And by the way, a group which maybe journalists need to do some digging before they take these positions to find out about the group sponsoring this, because this is what I found out while we're on the air, while I'm talking, that you can look up. And it is pretty troubling stuff and pretty shoddy as well. Look at the website that's put together. I mean, it's Word documents thrown onto a website. So again, this is the questionable stuff. ACLJ.org, support our work. Stand with the state of Israel. That's ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.